have your Bibles and open to the book of Psalms, Psalms 84, verse 11. We had a great night last night. A lot of our church family went to the Yankee Stadium up there, and we saw a game, and the Yankees won. It was good, but our Brian and Karen Miller, they sang the national anthem. And I know Kathy and I, we got a big log jam coming into that, into the arena down there. The 81 was jam-packed. There was a big concert going on up at Montage, and so it was horrible. So we were walking across the parking lot when the anthem was being sung. So, but it was a good time fellowship out. This morning, we're having a special recognition of our graduates. We have a lot of graduates that graduated this past year, and so let me go this way. We're going to look at the high school graduates and then the college graduates. When I ask your name or speak your name, just stand if you would and remain standing. And then after the service is all over, you have special gifts back on the back table. Just avail yourself to your gift. You've got a special gift back there just made for you. For high school graduates, Andrew Duffy, he graduated from Dallas High School, and he's planning on going to LCC Computer Graphics. Danielle Harding. There's Danielle. And she graduated also from Dallas. She's going to be going to Bloomsburg University, speech pathology. And so that's for Danielle. Nicole Harvey, she graduated from Westside, and she'll be taking up nursing. Chad LaBar from Dallas, graduate, and he'll be going to Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus. Robert McLaughlin, he graduated Dallas, and he'll be going to LCC to study photography. Danielle Miller. Danielle graduated from Lake Lehman, and she'll be attending Temple University. Tyler Montrose. Tyler graduated from Tunkhannock, and he's going to be going to Latournelle University down in Texas. Cody Plesner. Cody graduated from Dallas also, and he'll be going to Shippensburg University for football. Darren Treat graduated from Nanticoke, and he is going to be going into computer programming. Jordan Ramirez. Jordan graduated from Coughlin this year, and he will be attending West Point Military Academy Engineering. College graduates. We also have some college graduates. Sheridan Fink, he graduated Liberty University with a Bachelor of Music. Amber LaBar, she graduated also at Liberty University, Secondary Education, math specializing in. And Allie Martin. Allie graduated from Penn State University and physical therapy assistant. And Tara Wispel, she graduated from Cedar Crest College, and she's taking, and she graduated with biochemistry with a concentration in forensics. So I praise the Lord for each and every one of you graduates. If you have your Bibles, and in fact, you graduates, make sure you grab your gift back there on the back table when you're leaving. And many of the graduates was on the early service, and so we sort of there was a few on this one, but I think in the early service we had a majority of them this morning. The God tells us in the book of Psalms 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." There's, you see a picture of a graduate in front of you, this girl, and she's sort of looking off into the future. But understand that none of us know exactly what's going on in the future, do we? And we need to trust God and walk with him. Just as this graduate is looking off into the distance, you know, what does God have planned for you? What does God have planned for all these graduates that's going to be graduating, going on to universities or going out into the career field? Each one is different. God has a perfect path for each one, as you're going to see this morning. From this verse in Psalm 84, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. But notice the second phrase, no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. The Lord gives light to our path. First point I want us to see this morning, you take your study guide out and follow along. The Lord gives light to our path. The Lord is our sun. He is the sunshine of our lives. In fact, there are songs written about that. You know, the sunshine of my life. And he is our sunshine. He lights up our path. And if we don't have the light, the spiritual light of the Lord, I tell you what, we have spiritual darkness and we'll get detoured. We'll get off track so many times and get into a ditch as we go through life. And understand that God knows our future. God knows everything about you and me and what is going to happen in the future. And it's an awesome peace that we have deep down in knowing that God is in control and God knows everything about our future. We must stay in the light to avoid the destruction and the hurts and the pain so oftentimes. And the psalmist says it this way in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And God uses his word to teach us and to grow us. And so as graduates and even as all of us as adults, we need to realize that we need to walk in the path of his light and being in his word, very important. The Lord gives light to our path, and we will never walk in that light unless we start to avail ourselves to with that light and make it mine. Secondly, understand that the Lord not only gives us light for our pathway, but also he grants us supernatural protection. God says here, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. See, God's protection is so vital. There was just an accident. It just happened last night coming back from the arena or from the ball game. And there was a car went off the side of the road. It was on a bad corner. It was on the other side of Lehman on 118. And a car went off the side of the road and down in a big old ditch and all, you know, just up on a bank. You could just see it. There was all water there. And then he busted back up on top of a highway. It came right across the highway and smashed into some guardrails straight on there. If another car was coming, It would have been head-on collision right there in a really bad corner. All kinds of, it just happened, you know, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes before Kathy and I came through there, and we were just able to get through. But I tell you what, things happen so quickly. Aren't you glad that God is our shield? He's a shield. And you look in the military aspect of it, and the military aspect, you know, what does military people use? They use steel pots, okay, or they use body armor. What's it do? It protects them from the enemy, protects him from dying, and God is our shield. Not only does he watch over us and protects us in a physical sense, you know, accidents that many times we think, wow, I just missed not hitting that other person. But spiritually, very critically important, because there is a spiritual warfare going on, and there's a spiritual forces of darkness that's upon us, world. And we need so badly the spiritual armor and the spiritual protection of God. That's why the Lord tells us in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armor of God. That we take our stand against the devil's schemes because he's a real foe. So the spiritual protection is real. In Psalmist chapter 3, verse 3, God tells us this. You are a shield around me, David is speaking of the Lord. O Lord, you bestow glory on me and lift up my head. The times that we are down and out, and God is there supporting us and helping us, and he's shielding us and protecting us. And so much of that protection, we have no idea until we get into glory what that shield of protection fully means. Not only does the Lord give us light, the Lord grants us supernatural protection. I got hung up on G's this week. It's all G's. And the next one is God, the Lord also, he graces us with divine favor and honor. The Lord bestows favor and honor in Psalm 84:11. See, grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve. The grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense. Beautiful acrostic. And that's exactly what it is. God giving us grace. He's given us favor. He's given us honor. He's given us that glory that not only here, that as we are reflecting the Lord's glory in our life now, walking that spirit-filled life, but someday we're going to have glory like we can't even imagine. We'll be living in glory. And someday it's all going to be just absolutely beautiful, and I believe we're going to be able to look back and understand some of the things, why things happen in our lives. But understand that God graces us with his divine favor. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit, through his Spirit in your inner being. And that Spirit-filled life that we spoke of last week is a real thing. totally practicing the presence of God, no matter where we are, just be in that attitude of gratitude, the attitude of prayer, and coming before Him, understanding that God is real, that He created us. See, understand that God is a big God that's bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. How He spoke this whole entire universe into existence. You did not evolve from lower life forms, but you were created, handcrafted by Almighty God and created in His very image. You are special and uniquely handcrafted. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, how God creates us and to be used to serve Him. But you notice He gives light to us. He gives us a shield of protection around us. God also graces us with His blessings and His divine. All the resources of heaven is on your side. Can you imagine that? As a child of God, as His child, all of heaven's resources is on your side. God is just waiting to pour His blessing out. He's waiting to put His shield there. He's waiting to give you that light for your spiritual journey as you take your path through life. And whether you're just graduate starting out or whether you have been around this earth for a while, God is waiting. But it's all conditional. It truly is. And you look at it, it's conditional. See the spiritual light and the supernatural protection, the bountiful life that God gives us. The blessings, the graces that He pours out upon us is conditioned upon our blameless walk of faith. You see that? No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. What I'm saying is you cannot, you know, God says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't do bad stuff and sinful things and get away with it. In other words, if you start to do that, your path will start to dim. You won't be very bright on your path, and you'll start to do your thing and instead of God's thing. And you'll start to go your way and your direction and your thought life and your patterns of life. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself in a ditch, shipwrecked. And it's not a good thing to be. And away, away from God, and maybe away from home and away from God, and your family's falling apart. She's conditioned upon a blameless walk of faith. And that blameless means undefiled or integrity or true without hypocrisy or any shadow of change. Job, in the scripture we read that Job was a blameless man. And he was blameless, and not that he was a perfect man, but he was blameless. In other words, people looked at him and saw him walking with integrity and uprightness. They could not point a finger and say, oh man, this guy here, I saw him drunk over here the other night. Now he's talking about Jesus. See, he was blameless. He walked with integrity. He was not a hypocrite. And so he lived that blameless life. God says, I want my children to live that way. And when they live that way, I'm going to bless them with light to walk. I'm going to bless them with spiritual protection on those paths. I'm going to give them my shield. I'm going to pour my blessings out. They're going to have honor. They're going to have dignity. They're going to have my grace upon them. Wow, I tell you what. But it's all conditioned upon my willingness to submit to what the Lord wants us to submit to. Remember a few weeks ago, we looked at abiding in the vine. That God calls all of us as Christians to abide in me. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And oftentimes we get so wrapped in ministry and so wrapped in doing service for God that we really aren't abiding in the vine. We're so busy, you know, preaching, or so busy doing music, or so busy teaching a class, or so busy doing these little things here that we really aren't listening to the still small voice of God. Getting into that quiet place that He can talk to us and change us. It's God's grace. Well, the Lord, He gives light. He grants protection. He graces us with favor and honor, but also the fourth G here, the Lord grooms us and grooms your life to serve Him. Understand, folks, this is very, very important to realize this truth, that you exist for a purpose. God has a reason for your life. Your existence as a person means something to God. God created you to have fellowship with you and to allow you to grow and mature, to become a person or a vessel that He is truly wants to bless in a supernatural way and to use in a special way upon this earth. He grooms your life to serve Him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3. Jeremiah 18, verse 3, God says this, and speaking of God with his prophet Jeremiah, I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. And so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like the clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Understand this, that it was specifically written to the nation of Israel, but applicable to me. Amen? This is written, you know, all through the Bible. The book of Ephesians was written to the church of Ephesus. Do we read Ephesians or we say, oh, that's written to Ephesus, which don't apply to me? No. It's truth that we can garner throughout the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, and that we can learn from that truth and apply it to our life. And when we start to apply truth to our lives, make an application, I tell you what, our life starts to change. Our thinking starts to change. Then once my thinking starts to change, my feelings change. Once my feelings change, my actions start to change. And then lives around me start to change. And it's a precious, precious change. But understand that God is the potter. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand. See, God not only saves our souls, but he changes our life, and he's the potter in our life. Each of us is some clay. And when God created us, he created us all different. There's no two of us alike in this world. Your DNA can be matched up only to you, not to anybody else. It's a fascinating, this forensics that this one girl, you know, Tara, I believe it was on forensics down in Cedar Crest. I mean, that's what a subject to get into that DNA and to understand the fingerprints at one time. But that gets cumbersome. My little laptop computer is pretty neat because I can look at the laptop and it does three things. One of them I could type in, put my password in, boom, it takes me in. Another one, boom, as soon as I turn it on, boom, it starts searching for my mugshot. He looks around, finds me, triangulates on my head, boop, 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 checks out a whole bunch of stuff and says, yeah, it's him, and lets me in. And I have another one, too. They have a little scanner here that I can just turn the computer on and go, whoop, my finger. And if that one don't work, then I gave it a couple of them, and it picks it. If I lose that one, then I'm okay on another one. So it's a fascinating fingerprints, and you know, but it just knows who I am. And the DNA in you and I is totally unique. God handcrafted you. He made you for a reason, and understand that. And you're precious and special before God. Handcrafted in the very image of God. But understand that it's like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, is what God says. So are you in my hand, Ross, in my hand. You're clay in my hand. Kathy, you're clay in my hand. O house of Israel, O Sue, you're clay in my hand. Now understand this, as a potter and a clay, and you start to look at the illustration of this, we must be and we must stay centered on the wheel. Stay centered on the wheel. Now what happens if we are clay and the wheel is spinning around, the potter is forming this beautiful vessel, which we are, and he's forming this vessel, and all of a sudden, the clay gets on the side of the wheel. What happens? Boom, slapped up against the wall. Okay, it spins right off the table. Smack! Here's a big blob on the wall, oozing down the side of the wall. Can you see the picture? Oozing down the side of the wall. That's us sometimes. That we get out of dead center. We do not stay God-centered, but we start to become self-centered or world-centered or however centered we are, but not God. And sometimes we get on the side of the wheel, boom, 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 it don't work. What happens in a washing machine or the dryer or a washer when the clothes get all on one side? The whole thing shakes and goes crazy and boom, 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 boom. It doesn't work good. What happens if we get out of the center of the wheel when God is trying to form us and shape us? Same thing. Understand that. And so we got to stay in the center of God's will. We got to stay in the very center. We got to stay focused on God's word and abiding in the vine. Remember how important it was? Except you abide in me, in the vine, you can do nothing. And yet Christians, Oh, I don't have to abide in him. I'll just be doing all these things. I'll be serving in ministry. And yet Jesus is not a part of that ministry. Secondly, we must stay free of impurities. When a potter is forming clay and they're spinning on that wheel and all of a sudden, boom, a little pebble is in there, a little stone, a little piece of straw, any kind of impurities, it messes up that whole pot. They take the pot, they fire it up, and then it creates a stress crack there, and the whole pot has to be destroyed. It's no good. It's the same with us. If we are free of impurities, we're going to be a vessel that God is going to be honored with. And it's going to help us to grow and mature in our faith, and we won't be that stunted little six-inch shark any longer, but we'll start to move along and grow in our faith. And see, but sin will always be that little blemish, those little spots in that crack, in that clay. And so we, as Christians, we got to be careful that we live that clean life. Or what will happen is we'll start to have those impurities, and that will soon destroy us. We'll become broken. And then thirdly, we must stay pliable and sensitive, not hard and unworkable clay. You liken it almost to concrete. Many of here have poured concrete. And concrete, when you first come off the truck and you pour in the concrete, it flows and you move it around and you can work it down and you float it and then, you know, you can trowel it down and you can work it. But after it's set up a little bit, what happens to it? Can you go in there and work that concrete very well? Not very good at all, man. You mess it all up. It just doesn't work once it's setting up. That's the same thing with clay. And here, can you picture an almighty God trying to form you and shape you and make you on that potter's wheel, but you're hard and you're stiff, and he's squeezing on that thing and trying to get you squeezed down and trying to add some water to you and try to do some stuff to try to get you softened up. It's being sensitive to the Spirit. See, sometimes we are so desensitized to things of God. The world, that's the big thing. The world and all the affairs of the world, well, truly the pursuits of the world will really harden our hearts. And our hearts become more and more hardened and more cold and more distant from God. Why? Because we are pursuing things that God says be careful of, and yet we are, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and yet I want those things of this world. Moses even, we read about him that talks about the pleasures, the enjoyment of pleasures. But pleasures is enjoyable only for a season. Over in Hebrews. So we must stay centered on God's will and must on the wheel and also must be free of impurities and pliable and sensitive to the Spirit of God. Understand this, as God is the potter and we are the clay, the next verse is very important. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And look at this verse, what it says. God says that we are God's workmanship. Remember that he's the potter, and I'm the clay. And a clay does nothing but abide in the vine. A clay just sets there. Does a clay say, okay, make me into a beautiful pitcher. Okay, make me into a beautiful vase over here. No, a clay abides on the wheel. That's all it does. The potter is the one that dictates it all. God is the one that's in control. And God says that I have formed you. I have made your DNA the way I made your DNA. I made you uniquely handcrafted you. And you are God's workmanship. Now get the weight of this. This is not some kind of a puny little Bible, you know, nicety that we can talk about here. But we are God's workmanship. And we have been created in Christ Jesus for a reason. God does never create junk. And you might think, well, I don't have a whole lot going in my life. You aren't junk. And so many times we torpedo in our minds, oh, I'm no good, I'm worthless, I'm a loser, blah, 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 blah. Nah, you're God's workmanship. Once we start to understand this truth of God's word, it will start to revolutionize your spiritual life. We are God's workmanship for a reason. What is it? To do good works. And God prepared those good works way in advance for us to do. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 139, it says, before I was even formed in the mother's womb, and as I was being formed in the very womb of my mother, God, you were there. You saw me in my unformed days, and as I was an embryo just coming together as a sperm and the egg, and you saw me. And then the psalmist says, every day recorded for me that I'm going to have life upon this earth was recorded in your book before even one of them came into effect. He's the potter. We're the clay. Clay has no rights of its own. Clay just has sort of, it's that abiding in the vine. You get the picture now. Understand it. See, without me, you can do nothing. And we sometimes want to do it all. We got to do this for Jesus. We got to do that. And we're serving him. And we're doing this. And where's the ideas? And we got to do this together. And bring it. Where's Jesus in the whole picture of it all? Folks, we can get our ministry so messed up because it's all us doing it. And we aren't. Where's the Spirit of God moving? Abide in the vine. See, workmanship. Workmanship means God's masterpiece. That's what it means. You are God's masterpiece. Casey, you are God's masterpiece. Woohoo! Makes you special, don't it, Casey? Huh? Casey got saved not too long ago, and boy, God's working your life, huh? We're his masterpiece. We're his piece of work. Now, I know some in here are really his piece of work. In fact, I think some in here are crackpots, actually. All blemished and flawed, and we're, you know, a bunch of crackpots. But I tell you what, God's an awesome God. Why do you do it? For the purpose of serving him. Serving in his church, the body of Christ. Whose church is this? Not mine. Jesus said, I'm going to build mine. It's his. Jesus' church. And he builds his church. And this church is not this building. This church is not a whole bunch of steel and wood and drywall and concrete. But the church is people. We're a living organism that's made up the body of Christ. Precious once we start to understand that. That a body is the same thing. Made up a whole lot of parts. And we all need each other. All the various parts of our body to work and function. You know, I often, and one of the illustrations I use, I have no eyelashes over on this side, on the lower part. And that's all. So when I look at you like that, I'm listening to you because that's they took my ear to make eyelash or eyelid down here. But I tell you what, how important is this? And I'll say stupid little, but it's not stupid little. How important is the eyelashes on a person? Very important. I mean, stuff happens here that never should be happening. But, you know, little things we think, oh, I'm not that important in the body of Christ. Yeah, you are. The lesser is just so important. The people that does the signs out here. Thank God for the signs that's being changed every week. You know, who does it? Somebody. Does it just a little tooth fairy come in and magically change the signs every week? No, somebody does it. It's ministry. It's a sweet and wonderful thing. And as the body functions, all of us function together. I'm truly amazed, I stand amazed at the people across Creek and seeing all the lives that's been touched over the years. So many backgrounds. And each of us must realize because we are God's craftsmanship, we are God's masterpiece. I want to say this and get this deep. God is madly in love with you. He has a passion for you. Everything that God does in your life, even though we want to stand off, even though we want to scream and holler and get dragged along through life sometimes, not wanting to conform to his will, God loves you, and everything God allows in your life is motivated by his love. You get that now? It's motivated by his love. Nothing he does is not motivated by who he is. God is love. Deep down, I believe in all of us as believers, we have a hunger to know him more, to walk in his presence. And I believe there's a sleeping giant waiting. What could God do? I see a lot of soaring eagles. And everybody in this place is a 10 in some areas of your life. Yeah, you might not ace golf, but you might be a 10 in memorization, who knows? Whatever it might be. See, we all have a 10 in certain areas. We're God's masterpiece. And yet the enemy is very real. The enemy is very real because he is out to steal your identity of who you are. And what he does is the devil wants you to believe, he wants sinners to think that they're saints, and he wants saints to think that they're sinners. He brings confusion. Our lives are filled with confusion. If you are a sinner, he'll want you to believe that you're a saint. And if you're a saint, if you truly belong to God, he will want you to believe that you're a sinner. He's absolutely the father of lies. Confusion sets in, and you and I as Christians will be defeated and we're hot and cold and powerless. His objective, the devil's objective, is to corrupt and reprogram your thinking process. And he'll tell you you're a failure, you're no good. He'll tell you all those lies. But what does God say? Keep this and get it in your craw. God says, you're my masterpiece. You're my work in progress. I am not finished with you yet. I have something better for you. And someday I have glory for you that's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. That's a pretty good deal, huh? Isn't that a good deal to know that? See, God has you on that wheel, and he's moving in your life. But he shapes us. All of us are being shaped. There's five predominant areas of shaping that God does in our lives. First one is shape, S-H-A-P-E, and it's an acrostic that's been around for years. The first one is S, is spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 7:7, each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Scripture speaks of about 20 spiritual gifts. The moment you get saved is the moment that the Holy Spirit imparts to you and gifts you a spiritual gift. It could be one, or it could be several. We aren't sure exactly. Nobody really knows. It's a huge area to look at and to study. I feel like I don't do it justice here just talking a little bit about it, but the Holy Spirit gifts us. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Teaching. Wisdom, helps, giving, mercy, speaking, serving, faith, administration is a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. There's many of them, about 20 or so. In the ministry, the church, the body of Christ, is so blessed by individual members exercising their spiritual gifts within the body. And that's why you see people getting saved, and that's why you see lives being touched and changed. It's all of us utilize the spiritual ministry. And our giftedness, but understand that every Christian is given spiritual gifts that helps to shape your life. Secondly, we have a heart. A heart, I not only have the heart thing here that beats and beats and beats and pumps all the blood through our system, but God says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Your heart is what motivates you. The heart is what drives you. The heart is your passion. The heart is what makes you love something. Your heart is what makes you hate something. It's your heart. It's who you are. It's the wellspring of life. It's the whole core of you. And all of us, God has given us, when we got saved, he's given us a certain spiritual gift, at least one, but maybe several. He's also given us a heart. That's why we say the things we say, or think the things we think, or act the way we act. It's all dictated by the heart. It's the real you. He also has given us abilities, A, S-H-A-A, unshaped abilities. Exodus 31:3, I filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Everyone has abilities, and God has used those abilities as natural born abilities that we all have. I can do things that you can't do. You can do things that I can't do. We all are different. We all have different DNA, and so we're all being handcrafted because we're all masterpieces from God. And he is in the business of shaping us on that potter's wheel. We're all being shaped, and that shape is spiritual gifts. It's a heart. It's also that A, abilities. We all have 500 to 700 abilities that we can do. If I go like this, that's an ability to raise your hands, okay? It's abilities. We all have them. Lots of them. And I'm talking abilities, this natural talent of art or organizing or networking or natural abilities of crafts or carpentry or electronics or electrical or mason to lay all the bricks. See, abilities that God gives to us, and he shapes our life that way. God is intricately in part and involved in your life, and he shapes us. Not only does he give us those abilities, but also his personalities. Notice in Genesis 25, 27, it says the boys grew up, and the boys were the twin boys. The twin boys of Isaac and Rebekah. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. And we see in that one verse itself, we just see the personality differences of those two guys, of those two young boys that grew. I tell you what, Debbie, those triplets of yours, are they all different? All different. And see, God crafts our personalities different. Scientists and research have shown over 18,000 personality traits. 18,000. It's all the complex DNA. We're uniquely handcrafted by God. And God gave you your personality. Don't argue with him, because there's no right and there's no wrong personality. And there's four predominant types. The first one is melancholy. And melancholy is a guy named Moses. God, I can't do this. That's a melancholy. And so we see his personality. We see another guy, which is Abraham. He was the phlegmatic, steady as it goes. Faithful, 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 faithful. We see another personality, Paul. Driven. He's the choleric. He was a driven man. He was a church planner. He was a driven person that had passion. And he spoke, and lives were touched and changed. And then we had Mr. Foot in His Mouth, Peter, that always was saying wrong things, chewing on his toes all the time. Jesus, I'll never deny you! Yeah, he denied him before the rooster crowed three times. Jesus, let me walk on water! He was the sanguine. He was the life of the party. He was the guy that was always floating off in a balloon, and Jesus was always pulling the balloon back down. God gave you your personality. And there's no right and there's no wrong, but you're handcrafted. You're God's masterpiece. Get it. Get it. Pack it up. Take it home. Take it to the bank, because it's true, and understand this. And lastly, he uses E, the shape. He has shaped you with experiences. All of us. I can stand here and talk for hours on end about all my past good old experiences. And if I brought you up, you could do the same thing. You have things that happened in your life that never happened to someone else. We all have experiences of life. Over in Romans chapter 8, God tells us all things. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God plans, and he allows experiences to come into our life. Why? To help shape us. We don't understand it sometimes, but our family has helped shape us. The way you were raised helped shape you. Your educational experience, high school, college, various degrees and various subject matter, God is shaping you. God is training you. Vocational, where you work, your career, your job. Spiritual, what happened in your life spiritually? Where's your spiritual markers? What's been going on in your life spiritually? God's shaping you. How about military? God shapes you. How about relationships? God shapes us through relationships. Experiences of life shapes every one of us. And so many times it's the hurts, the trials, the tribulations that comes into our life that truly gets our attention. That we really start to become shaped by God. That's what God uses for the biggest part of our lives. And understand, when those hurts come, that God will never waste a hurt. But he'll use those pains, he'll use that struggle, he'll use those experiences of life on that potter's wheel, forming us and shaping us into the way he wants us to be. And I tell you what, God has shaped each of us. Often we don't realize this, that how God has a perfect plan for our lives, each of us. You aren't an island in the middle of a desert somewhere. God has a plan for you. The ministry God calls you to is for you. It's handcrafted by you. God placed you here, and God's called you to Cross Creek Why today? Of all days, God has brought you here. Maybe just to hear this message this morning. I don't know. But I know God is sovereign. I know God works in ways above and beyond anything I can imagine or even dream about. And he is building his church. Not only does God groom us, but he uses all these experiences of life to shape us with our personalities, our abilities, our spiritual giftedness. And he brings it all together on that potter's wheel as we're spinning and as we're sensitive to him and as he starts to shape us and as we bring all the things into our life and when it comes back to our life. And I think if we could whittle it all down, cut to the chase, it's to serve him. That's the whole duty of man. Fear God, serve him. And as we fear God and serve him and just put him in our where he in his rightful place in our lives, God then starts to work in a bigger, bigger, bigger way in my children's lives, in the ministries around me, in all the areas of my life that touches my life is being impacted. Why? Because now I am under obedience. I am now abiding in the vine. Does this make sense to you guys? Say amen. Thank you, Lord. I thought you guys would fall asleep on me here. Number five, the last G is God guides us into his perfect plan. See, he gently guides us. He doesn't come over and puts an old noose around our neck and a big choker chain and His Holy Spirit gently moves us and guides us. He's gentle. He's loving. He's a gracious God. And we need to realize that when we are out of God's will, nothing will make sense. You will know deep down in, you will just know that there's a disconnect here that I'm not where God really wants me to be. And I got to get there. Getting there is that, as we've been seeing in this whole series, is that surrender. He guides us into his perfect plan. Ephesians 4 puts it this way, the Lord gave pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. That works of service is ministry in the body of Christ. Did Jesus die for America? No, he did not. Did Jesus die for some corporation? No, he did not. He died for the sins of this world. Jesus died for the sins. He came into this world to die on a cross to pay the penalty of our sin and your sin and my sin that we couldn't pay. And thank God for that. And then Jesus is building his church, and the whole thing is all about his church. And he's given us the great commission to go out into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, to make disciples of all creatures. And that's our agenda. That's what I'm driven by. Try to reach this world. Because I know Jesus is coming soon, and we got to reach us and many people to hear about Christ. God uses the church, the body of Christ, to do it. We, as Christians, we can set and soak and sour and stink. Or we can be fat. I'm going to a picnic right after here. That's why I'm dressed like this. I want to be fat. Faithful, available, teachable. Now understand this, that's almost like a three-legged stool. And if we are faithful and we are available, that stool is going to fall over if we fail to be teachable. You get it? If we're smart enough that we don't need to learn or don't need to grow spiritually, we're going to flop over all the time. So be fat. Don't sit, don't soak, don't sour, and don't stink. But start to have an outlet. Start to give out. Start to minister in the body of Christ. Because you notice it says in Ephesians 4, it says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. If we are not faithful, if we refuse to be teachable. It's a pride issue, and God is going to stiff arm us, and we think that we're spiritual where we aren't spiritual. It's a dangerous place to be in. Are you stagnated, or are you bearing fruit? Why has God brought me to Cross Creek today? For a reason, I believe. Are you carrying your load within the body? That's what God says over and over in many places, that you're bearing fruit as each part does its work. Can you hear God calling you to make an eternal difference? This is not a game that we play. It's not a little corporation that we get together and we just do a church thing every Sunday. It's a lifestyle of following Jesus and living out your life and following his commands, which is to make disciples of all creatures. Go into all the world. Do whatever we can do to win this world for Christ. To see spiritual growth in his believers, in his children. To help the wayward. To help those that are struggling. See, throughout our journey, that's what's been going on. I oftentimes say Cross Creek is a church of the broken toys. God brings broken people so many times. I can't heal them. I can't do anything. I'm just a man just like everybody in this place. But I tell you what, I can show them God's word that God can heal them and God can mend them and God can make them a new man or a new woman. Praise God, I see that. I see lives touched. I see lives changed forever. Why? Because of you, some of you here praying, some of you giving, by your tithes, by your offerings, by your prayers, by your ministry, all involvement in Awanas. And there's a sheet in your outline. I know we might be a little over it today, but there's a sheet that you can fall down through, but I'm not even going to all any of these. I'm just covering a couple of them. I think some of the greatest ministries in any church is how do we care for our kids. You know, the ministries of nursery, the ministries of Awana, the ministries of junior church, and the whole ministries of Sunday school, VBS, Charlotte, you're looking for some VBS workers. On the back sheets, on the tables, there's sign sheets that back there to sign. We'll, for years, praise the Lord, every year we have kids getting saved. And I tell you what, some of those kids, the other night, it was Monday night, I was at a softball game. Our church has two teams. I was at the softball team, and I sat there, and I'm just blown away. It's like I'm dumb. It takes me a long time to get things. But I'm looking on the field, and I'm seeing some of our young kids that we led to the Lord when they were this high in this church, running around from BBS. And some of these kids now are up playing softball and with the big men of the church. And they're learning about Jesus because softball is a ministry. It's not just a softball, bang, 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 and get hot and under the collar and temper. No. We learn about Christ. We learn about love. We learn about relationships. We teach Bible studies around some of the softball teams. I mean, it's an awesome thing. Pastor Jeff back there is the guy that's sort of bringing this together. And out of all the leagues and all the different teams around, they all chose him because they knew he was the most honest and the best guy to do it, that he would have the fairest teams going against all the other teams, and they wanted him to be the chief dog leader, bringing all the spiritual emphasis and strength back to him. Whoa. Good stuff, guys. And to see our young kids, little CJ Whisple. Remember him getting saved during VBS. Little CJ. Something about you, CJ. You're going to be a preacher someday. I think God's going to call you. And I tell you, little CJ got saved and his life started going. He started carrying Bibles to school. You know what? I just wrote up a whole great big recommendation letter to the Order of the Eagle Scouts because that's what he's applying. He's going to be an Eagle Scout. And he's playing softball now, and he's becoming a man. Yeah, I tell you what, it just thrills my heart to see lives being touched and changed. But you know, the whole thing is ministry for all of us. Let me encourage you to go down through this. You'll not be turned in today, but over the next few weeks, I'm going to be at you. Okay, turn this in. What floats your boat? What shape has God created you? What hurts has he brought into your life that you might be able to really minister in here? You see what I'm saying? And then on the very top, it says, am I a member of Cross Creek? Yes or no? And then if I'd like to be a member, circle that yes. And then our next class is July the 18th. It's a wonderful class, Discovering Church Membership. And it's all about who we are, how we reach this world, how we do the Great Commission, and fulfill the great commandment of love. See, that's what it's all about. Let me encourage you, the Lord of the harvest. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send in laborers into his field. In any given church, about 20% of the people in the church are actually really involved in the 80% of the work of the ministry of the church. Let me encourage you to get involved. Step up to the plate and start to carry your weight, as the scripture says. Every ligament doing a part. You never knew you were a ligament, did you? Man, my pastor called me a ligament today. I'm not sure if that was complimentary or not, but anyway. God is good, isn't he? He really is. I know we're 2 minutes after, but praise the Lord, it's well worth those 2 minutes. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful, Lord, for you. Thank you for being a great and awesome God. Thank you for revealing to us yourself through your creation, through your Son, through your Word. And Father, I thank you the way you are shaping each of us. Help us to realize and grasp the truth that we are your craftsmanship, your masterpiece, handcrafted. And Lord, even our lives is a work in progress even yet. Help us to understand, Lord, that you have a spot for us to serve in ministry. And Father, we need, as a church, even though we seem to be so big, and yet, Father, we need workers. Father, it's a perpetual building parking lots and buildings and classroom spaces and teachers and ministry leaders and workers. And God, you see it all. Father, I just pray that you will raise up those laborers, Father, that you have been preparing for many years in their life. God, help us to say yes to you. Father, do a work in our hearts that only you can do in your spirit. We love you and thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.